You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fiery episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
Fiery. I wonder what's behind that comment. My name is Rob, and this is episode 650. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. Every single time you do.
We do appreciate it. And if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload your question. And if you find any show useful, like yesterday's podcast on Hurricane Harvey, how you can prepare an emergency GOAS, please share that show with someone who is thinking about going, or just get the word out. You never know who could use that information. We've got a very interesting question today. In fact, I think we're going to try and focus on a certain aspect or part of this question. We're talking about real estate today, real estate videography, photography, which is something a lot of people are doing. And a couple of shows ago, we talked about, you know, what can you do for the competitive advantage? How can you separate yourself from the competition? But one thing that we didn't talk about is everyone is focused on acquisition of data, right? The taking photos, taking aerial video, and then providing edits.
Right.
But what we haven't really talked about is how can you separate yourself from the crowd by building in metadata, by building in certain pieces and parts of your data, and by uploading it to certain places to get a better, well, better viewability, I guess we could call it,
and
more exposure. Now, if you're not into photography and videography and you're just getting into drones, you're definitely gonna wanna check this episode out. Why? Because our question asker for today is saying, look, I have very little experience in photography and videography, and I just really wanna kinda get an idea of how I'm gonna go about doing this. Well, if you're like him and you've got a different background, there are so many things that you can learn and that you can focus on and that you can pay attention to that other pilots just simply aren't doing. Now, so many guys are out there using their DSLRs and using their Phantoms to take these photos and videos, but very few of them are doing the back end work to really ensure that, you know, these realtors and these agents are getting more, that they're actually getting uploaded to certain places. Like, for example, did you know that you could create a master profile on Zillow for the realtor and put all of your videos there on Zillow, and you're going to get a lot more viewability? I actually know a couple of realtors who have mastered the Albuquerque market simply because they focus on their metadata and uploading not only to YouTube and MLS, which there is a very specific process for YouTube, branded and unbranded videos, but also uploading to Zillow, which is
Yeah, and realtors can certainly be a little finicky, but I suppose anybody can. But as a group, I think anybody that's worked with them for any length of time kind of understands what I'm talking about. But once you show them that you bring them some value that they didn't know even existed prior, they are going to really appreciate you. And just like anybody would, any client would. So that kind of stuff is gold.
I agree. Let's play that question.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question for Rob and Paul today. We want to know, if you don't have a full-scale video or photography business, but have a drone, is there a place for you in the market to help companies, realtors, corporations with their listings and video services? If so, what will you charge? How will you market? And where will your business go in the future?
Well, makes me laugh. I just appreciate that he would go through the effort to do that. So thank you.
No, totally. Totally.
It cracks me up. And it is a good question, actually, in terms of one of the things that we always ask is go a little deeper, put a little spin maybe on a question that has been asked in some form or another. And I think he did that.
What did you get out of that question?
Well, what I got out of that question is I'm interested in drones, and I think, I think that's been determined, but anyways, I have a drone and I see a place for me in this market potentially with my drone and helping real estate companies, for example, get their listings out there to more people, get them sold faster, make realtors happy. But I don't have a photography or a videography background. I don't have a stable of cameras. I haven't done a lot of still shooting at all, in fact, is what I'm hearing him saying. Can I still make a go of this?
Well, I think you can, and I say that from experience because I didn't really have any photo or video experience when I got into this 6 years ago, 5 years ago. So I mean, I started with just point and shoot cameras and then systematically learned what to do. And I mean, now it's easier than ever because of the classes that we have in the Drone U community.
Sure.
I mean, Vic's class on just photography basics and then the practical aspects of how to shoot, you know, with drones. All of the basics can be really utilized in any camera. Mm-hmm. And as long as you know how to light, I mean, lighting is so important when you're shooting. But also there are like little tricks that you can do in spaces. Like, for example, when I didn't have the money to buy lights and I wanted to shoot homes and houses and whatnot, I would actually do a really long exposure and a really like a really long exposure because I didn't have lights to really brighten up the room. And then I would tone things down in post. So there
are ways to be creative and use technology to your advantage.
Yes. And there is no like right way. There is
standard operating procedures, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I would look to like Stephen Miller in Arizona Listing Pros. I feel like he's the best. In fact, he's better than me in a lot of aspects.
And Stephen is going to be doing a class for us.
I need to follow up with Stephen.
We got to get on him to do that. Anyways.
I've been talking to like 7 other people just this week on doing classes for us.
Yeah.
So things are really moving here at Drone U. But that being said, I think, you know, going back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, being a photographer and a videographer is something that is learnable. It's something that you'll continue to learn and build on over the lifetime of your career. It's not something that you can just learn everything in a week and know it all. That's not possible. You know, you really learn these concepts when you go out and you practice these deep kind of concepts and play with images. And you know what I would do is, I don't really do this anymore, but I used to do it, is I used to take a bunch of different images and just decide what I liked and then looked at the settings and tried to remember, okay, in this scenario, this looked good. Mm-hmm. And with drones, you know, even now, if you have difficulty with lighting and setting the right aperture and the depth of field, Polar Pro, I saw, has an app out now to help you measure the light. But more importantly, decide what type of filter works for you and then how to set your camera accordingly with that filter on it, which I think is really cool.
So, but what I guess what I hear you saying is, and the way I would translate it is, you essentially have two choices now, right? Based on the scenario that he painted for us. One is you got to go learn the stuff. Spend a little money on a camera. You don't have to spend a ton. I mean, $1,000 or less, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to have a pretty decent setup. Or partner with somebody who does know how to do that stuff.
True.
But if you're going to be working on real estate or anything that requires presenting images or presenting properties, et cetera,
you
gotta have some photography knowledge.
You definitely do. But what I was trying to say in the beginning of the show in regards to his question is that if you focus on the technical aspects of delivery, because so many people out there fail on the delivery side of it, and you really create a package that's not only pricing about the photos and whatnot, but the metadata in the photos, where the photos are uploaded to. For example, you know, if you go out there and you take a bunch of photos and you hand them over to the realtor, this is often the failure point. If you go out there and you hand a bunch of photos to the realtor and then say, all right, I'm going to upload these to Zillow. I'm going to upload these to MLS for you. I'm going to give these to you in a specific, you know, way. I'm going to give you a branded and an unbranded video so you can't get in trouble with MLS. I'm going to upload the unbranded video to YouTube for you. And then I'm going to upload another video in Vimeo and then direct link that, you know, right into MLS for you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's important that we put it on your website for your SEO purposes, and I can handle that as well. You just don't see that type of intricacy and delivery, you know, in the photography industry, let alone with real estate.
Yeah, basically what you see is going out, taking some images and some video, and then giving it to the realtor and say, go do whatever you want to do with this.
True, right? True. Now, I know that there's a current battle between Realtor.com, Zillow.com, I think Keller Williams is getting in it, and a couple other people, but they all want to have data on homes because homes are recycling once every 7 years. So pretty much everyone moves once every 7 years is the industry average. Mm-hmm. So whoever has data on those homes first, and whoever posts that data to their website and indexes it on Google first with the right metadata is going to be the clear winner anytime as someone searches for this address, searches for the realtor's name, searches for the realtor's company or the neighborhood they want to live in. Like, for example, you know, I love this neighborhood that's like right by the office and I would love to live over here. Not really right by La Cueva because all the shenanigans that these little kids do makes me want to strangle them sometimes. So, well, shenanigans, good like word. Our office being broken into like five times. Yeah. Luckily, we have an armed response team. Literally, I mean, like, it is a private security force that comes out and they bleep up. I mean, yeah. They bleep stuff minute. Up. <That's>,
wow, the irony in that little.
I know. That's but no, if it weren't for them, like we would have had some major issues. And, you know, if you're not familiar with security, and this is a great little tip for realtors out there, you know, ADT, all these other solutions, all they do is they work with the existing network of the police, fire,
yeah, the
and whatnot.
Infrastructure that's just there. Plug into the infrastructure.
Correct. And then oftentimes that infrastructure is not fast enough to respond to actually do anything against these criminals. Like criminal sees an ADT sign, they know no one's coming for an hour,
right?
You know? I mean, literally, but they see an armed response team or International Protection Service or like something that has a physical police force that shows up before the police do. It's a whole nother story.
It really is.
And I think that's actually a good lesson for all of you guys out there who are selling your homes or want to protect your homes in a better way. Having an armed response team, which I don't even know how much more it costs, but we have something like that here.
It's not that much more, actually. So kind of getting back to the metadata, and my hunch is that, and I don't know if you have a way of measuring this or if you know just based on talking to people, but what percentage of realtors, say, who do their own marketing even know what to do about metadata, and even if they do, actually do it? It's a really low percentage.
Okay, so Ramon Casals, Sam Casals's older, is it brother or cousin?
I think cousin.
So he has a realty firm at a Remax on Tramway, and he and I have talked a lot, and he knows exactly how important SEO is, what to do with SEO, the whole nine yards. And I would say that the number of realtors that actually understand SEO, the importance they're in, and understand the importance of building content on their website.
And how to do it.
And
like
how
the nuts and bolts.
I'm saying less than 5%.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even still to this day, I'm helping out Craig because we're going to a very famous, I can't even say I'm afraid to say the name of the person's home on the show because until we shoot the class, I don't want people showing up there. But September 14th, we are filming the light painting class at a celebrity's house in Santa Fe. I locked this deal down yesterday, Rob. So
nice.
it's gonna be a really cool class. He's a country western singer, and he's extremely famous.
Wow! So I would stop there, Paul. That's plenty of information.
Anyway, but for example, I mean, he and I talk about, you know, metadata all the time, and what we're trying to do. I don't really fly lower end real estate. If it's not over $2 million, I will not even touch it. Like, not interested, not worth my time, because I'm trying to help all you guys out here and trying to provide the best information possible, and that's taking up 90% of my time right now. But anyway, that being said, I think that you could, you know, for example, he says, I'm not involved in photography and videography. Here's something no one is doing. Interactive maps. No one is doing interactive maps and models of homes. Mm-hmm. Imagine, so there's virtual tours and there's like these different things, but, and this is coming up in our interactive mapping class, we're gonna actually go real estate specific, but imagine if you could literally like fly around the house and then see a model of the house so you could look at what was in the backyard. I mean, you could move your camera perspective all on your own. Like if you wanna look through the window, look through the window, but then you can actually move into the house and have 16K resolution, 360 images.
Yeah, and you know, there are certain markets where I think you could really sell that. So there are markets, say Denver, where there's just tons of people that are moving into the area from all over the country.
True.
They're going to be looking at Denver from wherever they are, Iowa, New York, it doesn't matter, to give them those kinds of tools, it would be huge.
Totally.
So for certain markets in particular, I could see where that would be a tremendous value to the realtors. So something like that, though, you're going to obviously have to charge more. That's a pretty big upsell, I would imagine.
Yes.
For that kind of a
product. Oh, yeah. Huge upsell. I mean, here's the thing, though, too, is that with the way the market is right now, it's just, realtors are really interesting. If the market is speedy, they really won't pay very much money for photos and videos. Mm-hmm. And if you're selling your house, you should know what your realtor's marketing plan is. Like, for example, one of our instructors, I'm not going to use the name because, again, this could be tracked back to the person. one of our instructors, a close client slash family friend of his was selling her house, and she hired a realtor, and the realtor showed up with her iPhone and started taking pictures.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so that client called
I don't think so.
Our instructor because she hires him for architecture stuff. And she said, my realtor's marketing plan is a joke. And my house, I'm like, we need to sell it quick. It's not something that we can just play games with. And we're like locked into this contract. You know, can we do it? By the way, I would tell my realtor straight up, I'm like, if you're coming in here with your iPhone, that's a breach of contract because you're not even going to live up to the quality expectations that I see. And just go away. Just like literally just walk away. I mean, and if you're going to keep me in this contract, like I will systematically tell everyone who wants to buy it, no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I don't even think they would get that far, but it's kind of offensive. I mean, like realtors are an interesting crowd. You've got some really nice ones, some really, really cool ones, extremely intelligent ones.
Yeah.
Although those people normally work in like upper echelon firms like Sotheby's and KW and whatnot. Remax Elite is really good too. And anyway, realtors have this ebb and flow. If the market is running hot, they're spending less money and drives the prices down. If the market is kind of tough, or this is why I tell you guys, get into luxury real estate. If the market is always tough in luxury real estate because the price point is so high, you really have to market to people all over the country. You know, we talked about marketing earlier. Who is your audience? Who's buying this house? And we talked about sub $800,000 homes. You want more energetic music. You want it faster, quick, because you're trying to make an impression. But when you get in these, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million homes, your clientele is a little older, a little wiser, has a little bit more money, and it's a little slower pace of life. So you've got to match that in your video.
Mm-hmm.
More elegant music, more elegant themes and titles, you know, slides, epic slow movements, fluttering light through the trees, that type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that he asked, how do I market this kind of stuff? How do I market what I can offer? A couple of ways that you're going to get more bang for your buck is if you can get into these offices, talk to groups of realtors, and that's just going to be a matter of networking. You might have to beat on the door 3, 4, 10 times before they finally say, okay.
Yep.
And then once you convince these realtors or you show them what you're capable of doing, be it your knowledge or partnering with somebody, however that's going to transpire, let them know what you're capable of doing. The other thing that we've talked about in the past, that it's been a little while since we've talked about, are realtor tours.
So
and
critical.
Those are huge. Those are huge. And you just talk to title companies. What you can do to learn more about that is go to title companies, Fidelity, Old Republic, whatever you've got in your area, Stewart Title, and talk to their marketing people because their marketing reps are always doing realtor tours. And they love to have people join them, buy the realtors, burritos, whatever. You can find your way on those tours. And then you can start to talk to them about what you can do for them there. So
very
a lot
true.
Of ways that you can do it. As far as how much to charge, that's probably not something
market,
to go into here.
Market dependent, depends on the price of the home. You already mentioned like how realtor tours is how I got business off of the ground. I mean, and it was actually on accident. I know that sounds weird, but a lot of you guys know I used to own another company and we did realtor tours because we had vehicles for them. And that got literally the party started. It was it was fascinating to me.
Literally.
I wasn't even meaning to be punny.
I know you weren't.
But no, it's funny. I used to, you know, I would actually fire my drivers and drive myself or just ride along just to be with them because, and oftentimes on the bigger vehicles, I couldn't drive them because I didn't have the right license. But I would just ride along and talk to realtors about what was working for them, what wasn't working for them, and being honest. And you would be surprised what a box of donuts and bagels can do for you.
That's right.
I learned that very yep. early on. I mean, you can it's actually kind of pathetic how much you can smooch people with food.
With a $4 cup of coffee or macchiato, or I don't know, whatever those things are. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, or send them like a special coffee bean from a rare part of the world, mm-hmm. but you just get it on Amazon and say, oh, I got this, and package it up real nice. Like, this is what Sarah is really good at. Like, if she wants to schmooze someone, she knows how to do it. Like, she's the queen of that.
It is an art form. Yeah, because you got to be sincere. I mean, is it, right? Either if you're not sincere, number one, you're not going to like yourself.
True.
But they're going to see through that.
Okay. So something else, he talked about how are you going to market? How are you going to go out? So he talked about realtor tours, very important. Talked about data acquisition, very important. You know, something else that's really important is follow up. If you're not following up after the jobs to make sure people are happy, that's really important. And one other point I want to hit, most people who are flying real estate, photo and video, they are charging for acquisition of data and they are charging for editing of data. Mm-hmm. They are not charging for their time to upload, because SEO and upload and proper upload is going to separate you from the crowd.
And when you say upload, you're talking about getting all the metadata in there, getting all the videos into the right places, all that kind of stuff that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So we actually have a class, it's called Lightroom Automation, and it explains how to input all of the metadata into the photos as you're importing them into Lightroom so that you don't have to write metadata for every single photo.
Because that gets really time consuming.
Oh, yeah. And you can actually also gross edit photos, stack photos together if you're shooting automatic exposure bracketing, or if you're shooting bracketing inside. This shows you how to essentially power through speed editing while still getting good stuff, inserting your metadata. But let's take it one step further, right? You talked about upload. The realtor should have their own website with their own data, and it should be uploaded there first. Okay, so the listing should be on the website, their website, with their name and the address and the neighborhood name.
For the SEO benefits.
For the SEO benefits. Right. So it should go to the realtor's website first. Then you should go to realtor.com, MLS, whatever it is, and upload your stuff there. Then I feel like I'm like the Uncle Rob guy. And then throw gasoline on and burn the whole thing up. No, I'm kidding. And then you upload to Zillow, and you can upload videos on Zillow. In fact, in all honesty, there's a reason Zillow is destroying MLS and Realtor.com. They don't have these stupid limits on videos, these stupid limits on photos. You can actually put full resolution photos on there. Are they compressed? Yes, but not nearly as much as MLS. Mm-hmm. And it's just a much better multimedia platform. And I know that there's lawsuits going on for Zillow's Zestimate. And, you know, people are saying they can't sell their homes for as much money because the estimates are wrong on Zillow and whatnot. And I see that as definitely a real issue.
Sure.
But if we're talking about multimedia, Zillow destroys everyone else hand over fist.
Interesting. It's good to know.
Yeah. Well, it's actually funny. I got in a big fight with a realtor. I forget the guy's name. He was a bald guy. And he was asking for a bunch
of relevance there, but go ahead.
No. and he was asking for a bunch of stuff. I'm like, you didn't pay for that. Like, you asked for this, you asked for this.
I remember
you
want, when that happened.
But he's the guy. Like, I was like, you know what, dude? I just want a good reputation. I hate you. but I'm going to deliver the best product possible, because at the end of the day, my name is on this.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if I want other business, I'm only as good as my best video. So I hate you, but I'm going to deliver the best thing possible. And I want you to know, you keep treating people like this, no one's going to work for you. Like, straight up. And we actually had a very honest conversation. He was like, you know what? I'm glad that you have the balls to say that. And I was like, oh man, you're really digging a hole, dude.
You have no idea. But that actually brings up another really good point, and that is, have everything documented as to what you're going to deliver.
Sure, I've made that mistake time and time again.
Make sure those expectations are set up front, because if you don't, you will get bit. It's inevitable, and probably sooner rather than later. Yeah.
And it's a rattlesnake. It's just waiting to bite you.
Right. And it's human nature. You're going to tell them, you might have an agreement that is sort of theoretical, if you will, and they're always going to want more. I mean, again, that's human nature. They're going to say, well, can I get this? And could you do this? Because the more that you tell them that you can do or you will do, or that you have done, it's going to spur new thoughts, right? And so they're going to follow up on those thoughts.
True.
So the more you have that in writing up front, obviously, I think you all know that, but make sure you're doing that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We really went into detail on this one. This is massive level of detail.
I hope so. I hope it's helpful.
Definitely. And if you have a question, go to askadroneu.com, upload that question. Can't wait to hear it. By the way, if you're going to InterDrone, I know earlier I talked about how expensive InterDrone was, which it is. But they offered us to come to be press, to report on what's going on. I'm actually really excited. Unique just released their new H520. Which is funny because when I last saw Trent at, I think it was CES when he was still with Unique, and they were plugging that bird there, but now I guess it's officially released.
I really hope they make this work.
I actually said very, very, very blatantly in my email to their press team, which Unique uses a, I think it's called Brand Amp for their marketing and press. And I said, I'm going to be really honest with you. I am excited for competition with DJI. DJI is probably not going to like hearing this, but I think in any capitalistic market, competition is a good thing because it forces people to innovate and provide better customer service and a better overall experience. I mean, we all know DJI is the market leader, but if we don't have competition in this realm, we're going to be seeing draconian stuff like we're seeing right now, and that is not going to be beneficial to the industry as a whole. And I think it's going to be difficult to see the long-term effects of what the draconian actions could have.
I don't want to go into those now, but there are things that come to mind with respect to that that it's just not okay.
Yeah.
And we need that competition to push that stuff out.
I agree 100%.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to talk to Intel, their Falcon 8 drone that just came out. I obviously have my doubts and questions. You guys know how I am. I always want to go into it, with doubts and questions. Because as I learned winning the business competition here at the University of New Mexico, if you are not prepared to answer the difficult questions and understand what your competitors offer as an advantage or a competitive advantage over you, you are not being realistic in the viability of your product.
Right.
And like that's so like I was hammered with questions with my business plan and what we're going to do. And you know what? I want to go on Shark Tank just to like mind screw everyone on that board, because everyone goes into Shark Tank super giddy and excited and blah, 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 blah. When they have to ask the tough questions, I want to be like, you know what, Mark Cuban? That is a very good question. And here's the answer. And here's the research to back that up. And here's why you should shut the I'm just kidding.
I just, two things. Love that you had enough confidence to say that about those people. Number one.
It's not about confidence. It's about being real. It's like.
No, it's about confidence.
Okay.
And being real. But anyways, number two, since you brought up Mark Cuban, I just read an article today, or actually a little blurb about something that he said about what he looks for in employees or in partners. I want to pass that on because I thought it was really good and it was not
liars like on national television that talk about their drone school? Question mark. Sorry,
no.
I had to do that. Everyone who saw the episode knows exactly what I'm talking about.
So moving right along. Anyways, I thought what he said was really interesting, and I think it's something that you can apply as you're going out and trying to get business. That is, the thing that he looks for the most is if you can do something that reduces his stress, you're going to do well. His stress.
Hold on. Stop right there. Remember the book Contagious when we had the fly-in and everyone's like, okay, Paul, what's one book that's going to help me out significantly? And I said, Contagious, because it's research behind marketing. There is no other book out there that actually goes into systematic research for over 100 years as to why certain marketing things work. So you just hit 2 points. Emotion and trigger. Mm-hmm. If you reduce stress, that's emotional. Right? But stress is also a trigger point because some people can just like emotionally blow up.
Sure.
So the fact that if you go in there to provide a service and value and reduce stress, not only is it like emotional because, okay, I'm going to feel better, but it's a trigger point knowing that you'll feel better working with that person. You become the trigger point.
To the point when you get that opportunity to present to realtors, for example, I would literally use that terminology. Like, I am here to reduce your stress because we all know that what you do can be really stressful. I'm here to help you get rid of that stress. That,
you know, it's funny too, because Dave Muir, okay? Mm-hmm. He always starts off a conversation with, like, oh, Rob, today your hair just looks so good. Like, yeah, I am just I'm just like, I'm really just impressed with how you, yeah, you're carrying yourself today. And I respect you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And then the storm comes. So anyway, all right. I think this was a really informative episode, but anyway,
I enjoyed it. I hope the listeners do.
I do too. Guys, if you did enjoy it, leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you download podcast episodes. It helps other people find our show. And if you're like us and you're in this business because you love to fly and you love helping out other people, then give us a hand. We would greatly appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
And you're listening to the Ask Drone U podcast.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.